cow. Baby on hoops. Ready to talk. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're good, man. We're good. Give him 1 second so he can get his recording going because Joe, you got it?
Yeah, I'm not technologically advanced in my old age.
But so. you got him right now, right?
I think I got everybody. Why don't you both say hi quick and I'll make sure.
Hi quick.
Guest goes second.
Yes. Cool.
The quick brown fox jumps over Aquaman. So Joe, everyone, welcome to Dunk Tales Pod. I don't know. What is this? Episode
12.
No, I think 12 was last time, bro. It's 13.
13 something.
I told you I'm bad at math. This is going to be a great show. And I'm James Hollis, a.k.a. Snotty Drippin. That's Joe Borelli, a.k.a. Joe Borelli. And we have Kelly, you're our first guest. We're joined today by Kelly Dwyer, the O. Motherfucking G. That's the last time I'm going to curse because I want to put on a good show for our guest today. Kelly, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. And I hope you curse again. I hope I say something that inspires you that you just lose your otherwise, you know, on point and steady and ready countenance that you have. So I'm happy to
right.
be on. And yeah, there we go. But first of all, you had to deal with various Kelly Dwyer-ness in getting into adapt to a phone that was made after 1994, and you know, now you're treating me with all these kind words. I'm super excited to be on. Thanks for having me,
Kelly. What iPhone do you have? Which one?
I genuinely don't know, but I had a BlackBerry until 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
Get out of here. Are you kidding me?
That is impressive.
3 years ago. And I only had it. I only got rid of it because Yahoo made me get rid of it because all the apps I had to have on their stuff. That, you know, so I had to get a Samsung. Yeah, I'm old. I'm old with it.
So let me ask you, Kelly, how long have you been in the NBA writing biz, man?
I started at onhoops.com in 1997.
That's so.
Article on Jim Clemens.
Not Jim Clemens, not the old Bulls assistant coach, defensive whiz.
It was Jim Clemens' raw deal because he got fired by Don Nelson in Dallas, and I got angry about that because I didn't think he had a chance. He got a chance down there, and I wrote about it a lot at age 17. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's been bounding about since then.
So let me go back a little further. When did you first think, I can do this NBA shit for a living? I'm going to do this and make this my... When did you really think, what was the turning point to let you know, I'm going to keep this rolling?
It was the same year that the Bulls won 72 games. It was like the most out there thing I could do to not kind of tick off, but just... It was an out there thing for someone like me to do, to all of a sudden start writing about sports with the kind of company that I hung around and kind of, you know, like where I people, you know, probably perceived my life was going. I was kind of an out there sort of kid. And for me to come out of the summer of 95 after staying in Chicago for a bit and then kind of decide that I'm going to focus all this weird energy that I have on this, that it was kind of a decision I don't know. I just had to make that to stop my own self from being bored. And you know, after a while, you know, you can't help it at some point, though, because look at all the stuff that's out there. So, you know, when you're a teenager, as with most things.
So you were in Chicago for the heyday of Michael Jordan. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was. It was fun. It was very fun.
Real quick, can you try to explain the difference between what it was like in Michael Jordan's heyday and LeBron's? I remember Michael Jordan's heyday too. And I'm not saying, I understand LeBron is right there neck and neck banging on the door for being the greatest. There was just something different about Mike. Mike was like a rock star. And I think the social media aspect of it has changed things where LeBron looks humanized to us. Mike was honestly like a god among men. That's how he was viewed because, you know, he was very careful the way he packaged himself and preferences of the public. So, I mean, am I crazy or do you, like, it's just the way we view Mike and the way we viewed LeBron is just, it's like, it's apples and oranges.
And it's no one's fault, but times and the culture, it's it's unique to each individual, and I'm glad for that, because I mean, every game back then with Jordan was like an event. All the, you know, the visits to the Denver Nuggets, that was the lead story on SportsCenter, and that was a big deal when you had to make appointment viewing. And the run, that sixth championship run, it was so fierce when it actually happened from, you know, within the year, that it's just not comparable. And that's not really a dig at what LeBron's doing and basically taking January and February off each year. It's just how things are. There's room for levity these days because everyone's able to get their stuff out there. And Jordan, you know, good for him, got to be in the 80s and 90s where he just got to shut up and play ball. And like you said, you know, allow what got out there to get out there. And it's apples and oranges. And I'm just happy to be around for both of those.
Yeah. You know, following up with that, actually, that brings up a good point. Hey, it's Joe, by the way, Kelly.
What's up, Joe?
I feel like I haven't been present for this whole thing. How much do you think has actually to do with the amount of, like, media available, or the, like, Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff that's around now? Like, back in the day with Michael, you got to see him on TV and, like, post-game interviews, but you didn't have access to him the way we do now. So maybe there was, like, a bit more of lore built around him than there is around LeBron. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Yeah, but that was going to happen anyway, though. I mean, LeBron, he didn't really put himself out there, but that's you know, this sort of housing your own message and keeping the message on point, that's unique to this generation, and that's good. That's a thing that I like, because I think that's just going to be part of the growth that these people exhibit. And then in 15 years, they're going to be collaborating with authors and collaborating with the writers that they've been reading their entire lives. You know, the Dave McMenamins of the world are going to have relationships at that point. And then maybe later in their life, they're going to be writing their own stuff again. So I'm cool with, you know, kind of the how Twitter has evolved into something a little deeper and stronger and you know, more well thought out, and that the athletes on these websites are taking advantage of it. These, you know, it's those websites that are the only ones that people are actually going to and reading these days, it seems.
Absolutely.
I mean, Instagram, think about, like, Players Tribune and Instagram, like, players, like Kelly, like you said, they're basically curating their own story as it happens, which is amazing.
As well they should. I mean, who else? They've had to answer for their own stuff, whether they're a 4-year or one and done or whatever, their entire life. And they're a generation, we're a generation, whatever we are, we're all at a point where none of us want to answer a voicemail, much or even acknowledge that they exist, much less, you know, answer a text, much less leave a DM hanging or whatever. So it just makes sense that that's sort of how this word is going to get out. But any word that gets out is good. Anything that helps us understand these individuals and have more empathy with what they're dealing with day to day, and kind of remember that just because they play the same position and were born the same year, that they're not all the same. Anything that helps that, you know, yes to that.
Totally.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of, we totally skipped over the part where we were going to pump your website up and let you talk about that quick.
Joe, that's not how you segue.
Hold on.
No, let me show you how to segue.
Go ahead, James. Show me once again.
And we also talk about the Players Tribune. You know what? And we all know you from Yahoo, and you know, you're the OG, but you also control your own destiny, and you got your own story, the second arrangement. That's tsa.substack.com. So talk to us about that, man, because everyone knows your name. You could have went and wrote anywhere you want to. Talk to us about the decision and what went into the decision to go and do your thing.
I just wanted to kind of have fun again. Like, I thought I was having fun at Yahoo at my dream job, and I was, but it wasn't like this. We just write about whatever we want to write about. And for me, that's behind the box score. I watch these games, and I have jokes and I have analysis, and sometimes they don't fit on columns, and sometimes you just got to get them out the next morning. So that's the basis of the site. That's a thing I've been doing since 99, I think, on and off, but it's back on, and it's definitely going throughout the rest of the regular season and the playoffs, whatever columns I feel like doing. And we do a lot of, like, historical stuff, which I'm way into. We did a thing on Penny Hardaway recently. We're going to focus more on Nick Van Exel on the next one. I did a little jokey thing about Clyde Frazier the other day. Got stuff about Hubie Brown. We're trying to get back to having fun on the internet, and it's a distraction, and it's disposable, and it's goofy, and it's fun. And that's what I like about it. It's just in your email. You don't have to be on Twitter. You don't have to look at ads. It's just something to get you away from everything else that's out there.
I love that, man. So yeah. Two things. Joe, give me props on my segue.
Good job. And
the other thing is, like, hey, to the listeners out there, make sure you check it out. That's tsa.substack.com. And you can, for as much as $100 a year, you get the full shebang-de-bang. Or $5 a month, you get the full subscription. It's well worth it. And like he says, it's about fun content, man. I think sometimes we get too bogged down in the analytics and the fight and the numbers and the predictions. And it's fun, man. So, yeah, we really appreciate what you do, man.
Appreciate it. It's so fun so far. It's so fun to get away from it's just whatever basketball is there. And it's gotten back to me about being about the game and the game itself. And that's I don't know what happens in the afternoon anymore. I don't know what happens on cable TV. I don't know what happens on Twitter. I'm out of that stuff. But, you know, 7 o'clock out here when the games go on, that's when the light starts. So, yeah, come on and join us. It costs a bit to get in, but we pump out free stuff every so often. But, yeah, and the playoffs are going to be kind of crazy because we're going to be in the Subaru up in Cleveland, up in Milwaukee and Indianapolis. Might go down to Texas, might make way up to Golden State, might sleep in a few parking lots. I don't know.
But, it sounds like fun. Site.
It's a lot of fun.
I wanted your life, bro.
Seriously, I wish I could leave and just go travel around and watch games. Speaking of the playoffs, do you have a team that you're really interested in coming the playoffs? Do you think there's going to be maybe an underdog that's going to make some hay?
Well, geez, I mean, interested. It's 1 through 16, isn't it? I mean, even when they're disappointed. I mean, like, okay, so you don't want to watch a whole Miami game?
Yeah, I mean, go on. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. Saying.
Hey, I'll say this. Kelly, I heard you on the Woj pod, and I heard about, you know, I heard your affinity for Miami. I know that you have a soft spot for Depot and the Pacers. The Miami thing, I could beef with you about that one. They don't.
Okay.
The exact opposite for them and me. They're almost unwatchable to me.
I didn't know if there was some other like obnoxious team that I was totally forgetting, but if Miami's the worst team, then yeah, I totally get that. Kick them out. Just write a nice column about them and read on a Sunday morning, and then we don't have to watch about them. But that is what NBA TV is for.
That is
absolutely
true.
Yeah, underdogs. I don't know. I can't imagine the Spurs are going to do anything. Like, they just win regular season games. I'm sorry. It's what they've done with their numbers and all that is remarkable. I've seen them a bunch of times in person this year. I would try to get anyone who has any sort of scratch in any of these Sunday afternoon games or whatever, try to get the cheapest seat you can and go watch the Spurs when they're on the road. They're delightful, but they're not going to surprise anyone. They're not going to upset anyone, I don't think. I mean, I still have a thing for the Thunder. I don't know why. They slap at the ball a lot, and I you know, the ghost of Roberson's there for me, but they could surprise a bit.
Definitely talk about the Pacers. That. Sorry, I was going to say, talk about the Warriors. Not the Warriors. The OKC a bit, because James is infatuated with Russell Westbrook and thinks that he can do no wrong. But I think even James is sort of falling out of love with him. What? I'm just being honest.
Yeah. So like Kelly, like again, I heard you on the Woj pod and I respect that. Right. Cause you were like, hey man, I don't know why I'm still kind of believing in this Thunder squad. Russ is my guy. And I think from listening to you talk about him and how he interacted with Depot, I think you're kind of with me on this one. I love watching Russell Westbrook. And last year I was all in on him. I'm glad he won MVP in this, you know, hyper analytical age. He kind of is like a throwback player. I love that. Now, that being said, I'm the opposite of you. This season, I'm all out on the Thunder experience. I think Paul George is going to probably leave. They look like everything's kind of a slog. They don't seem like they're having fun. Even when they win, it seems like it's more relief. Russ seems almost, which for him is amazing to me, he seems kind of uncertain at times, and he seems like he's lacking confidence at times, which for him is insane to me. Talk me back off the ledge and tell me what is it about the Thunder that you still have a spark of belief?
Oh, it's not. I mean, that's the most accurate portrayal description of the Oklahoma City Thunder that any of us have heard. So you're gonna have to go back and listen to your own words after this and acknowledge how spot on that was. Exactly. You just nailed the Thunder. I got pipe dreams. I got May in my head. That's all it is. It's just the idea that I'm not saying Paul George is ever going to stay. He could hit game winning shots in 4 out of 7 games in a series. That's not happening. And even if it isn't with the Lakers, I have no idea what's in his head. I just know that, you know, that dude has a tattoo that says I was traded here. So I don't think he's, you know, really thinking about his legacy or anything like that. I just think these guys might get it together for a week and a half. That's all it is. And that excites me because, you know, let's just pretend Carmelo Anthony's saving those legs. Let's just pretend Russell something clicks with him where, like, I don't know, maybe we don't pay attention to him for a week and he does, you know, something about that in a good way. I don't know, but it's irrational. It's obviously irrational. And you just listed all the reasons why. I just wonder what life is going to be like in Oklahoma City when it gets a little warmer there.
Oh man, that bums me out. Because I was hoping you would be able to throw out some pithy things that make me be like, oh man, I feel that. Yeah.
Well, okay. How about this? Stephen Curry has the same injury that made him absolutely collapsible in the worst moments from 2 years ago, and he's dealing with ankle stuff. So, you know, why not? There, the best way around that is just bummer stuff. But, you know, they could also slap at the ball a lot. And they can get hot and they can get to the line. And, you know, maybe they're the one team that's been building good chemistry with the refs all season and that pays off in the right moments. I don't know.
Yeah. Russ building up chemistry with the refs. Yeah, yeah.
It could happen. It could. I don't know. I should dislike him as much as you. But, you know, I've had a tough time finding things to dislike about just about any team this year. Everyone is so self-aware, and it may not come out yet, and people are still doing dumb stuff, and you still get Durant doing dumb stuff and Russ doing dumb stuff after a game or whatever. But, you know, we would all, if we had to deal with this many games and this much going on and having to be on record for everything, it's got to wear on a man.
See, I'm gonna show that I'm not a stan. I'm not a Russ stan. I hear what you're saying, and like that's what to me it's like he's just being kind of he's so curlish and just kind of like, you know, short with the media. It's like it's kind of funny. I can understand why the media doesn't like it, but like other players don't do it, so I'm not gonna give him that pass. Now Joe, me and you talked about this in our pre-production.
Yeah,
you were asking. You had something you want to talk about in the Eastern Conference. There's a certain team that you wanted to bring up.
I wanted to ask you. Well, I want to ask you about two things, Kelly. Actually, I want to ask you about the Celtics because that's James' favorite team, and I want you to put the nail on the coffin for him, please. I mean, like this team has outperformed what everyone expected of them without having Hayward there, and now Kyrie's gone down. Well, he'll be back, but like. They, you know, Brad Stevens is an amazing coach, and he's gotten them to do amazing things this year. But I just don't think that that's going to translate into the postseason. I don't think James thinks so either. He's been pretty honest about that. But what do you think? Are you seeing anything that we're not?
No, it's all out there. It's they don't know. They don't know what they're going to be able to pull off in a few weeks, and they're fine with that. And we don't know what Kyrie we're getting back. We don't know what is going. What, you know, his wheels. You know, that could be, you know, fingers crossed. I want to see him flipping the ball again at you know, top rank this spring. But I don't, you know, I got to worry about that sort of stuff this late in the season. But, you know, these players are obviously learning new things about themselves as the year moves along. And, you know, not to make a joke about this, but these guys that are coming off the bench have fresh legs when everyone else is out there. And they're dead at this time of year. So you got Shane Larkin with those spring training hops. Hey. And, you know, teams are going to get beat. And that's just how this stuff goes. And I don't see why that can't continue in spring. I can't see why they can't mix it up when they have 2 days off between games and stuff.
Ooh, plot twist. Joe, he threw that in your face. So real quick, on that same note, before he goes to his next team, Kelly, what team do you think the Celtics match up best with, and then who do they not want to see in the Eastern Conference? So, like, give me a couple teams in the East you think, oh, yeah, they got those guys, and a couple teams that they want to avoid.
Oh man, I don't know. I'll just have to run down the thing of the list because I they're so strange and out there that I don't know who they poorly match up right now with. I mean, Philadelphia is just a scrub until it gets Embiid back, but Embiid's going to come back with his knees feeling, you know, at least not terrible, and that's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the glasses are going to bother him, and he's going to miss some free throws, and he might be afraid to take jumpers, but like Philly can take down anyone. Indiana can take down Boston in a second. You know, Miami can do some annoying as heck things that could, at the very least, Boston, Miami, that could go a stretch. I don't know if Miami still has a chance to play them. I don't know what the math is, obviously. I mean, the East is crazy. The East is nuts. I mean, the Cavs still have an implosion left in them. I mean, the Cavs haven't, you know, they've flirted with that sort of it's going to fall apart, but, you know, they've kind of gotten it together, but not fully. So we don't know, you know, from week to week with that stuff, what's going to happen. And, you know, Toronto, God bless them, are just thinking on their feet. So, you know, they're like Boston, but with players.
You know, I was going to ask you about the Raptors as well. What do you think about their chances of actually getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? Actually,
but well, they're like Boston with players.
Yeah,
I think.
I know, man. I heard you the first time, Kelly. You don't got to twist the knife even deeper.
Yeah, yep, yeah. It was a good one. It was a good one. Maybe we should just skip over that.
No. I want to hear it. No, seriously. Go, yeah.
Toronto could go out in the second round. I mean, it could. Anything can happen, and not because they would have screwed up. It's just because the East is really good this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can make fun of how terrible and unwatchable Detroit and Charlotte are, but they're out there going at it, like, right now. And you know, that's been the East all year. The Bulls won a ton of games, and they earned those wins this year. The Hawks have been right there in a bunch of games. So for Toronto to put up that many wins playing in mostly that conference, you know, where you don't have a Phoenix and Memphis every, you know, so often, is huge. But you know, that's what's great about them, and that's what could fail them. But I can't imagine. I mean, I think DeMar DeRozan has the legs to do that for a long time, and I think Boston has whatever complications in place to make things you know, tough for the team that's used to playing ahead at this point.
I can't argue with that. And I will say Hawk fans and Bulls fans right now are probably applauding you because that's the nicest thing anyone has said about their team in months. So they appreciate you.
I mean, John Collins.
I like
him. And then Chicago has, well, no, Chicago wears white on the road. So no, we're not talking about them anymore.
Hey, let me ask you, let's look back on the season a little bit, man. I know you said, like, you know, the Pacers kind of stood out to you and the way that Depot really turned the corner. What's another, like, another kind of pleasant surprise this season? Because I think coming into the season, a lot of people thought that, hey, Golden State, Cavs, we're in for, you know, round four, who really cares, dominance. But I think the season's been a lot more interesting than that. So what's another like, pleasant surprise that really stood out to you this year?
Well, I mean, sorry for starting at the top, but I mean, just looking at Chris Paul, Chris Paul plays with James Harden now. Did you guys know that? Chris, that's nuts.
I've heard.
And no one is, I mean, that could have gone terribly. Yeah. That could have gone so bad. We have to think of where our jaws were in June when we heard about that trade. And then, like, in sometime in August or September when we were out, you know, enjoying the scenery and enjoying nature before fall hit, and then it hit us again that, oh, man, James Harden and Chris Paul are on the same team. This could be and D'Antoni's coaching it. This could be 70 wins, or this could be the craziest, most on-fire thing that's ever happened in a bad way, and they just have to shut the Rockets down forever. And instead, they're amazing. They're amazing all over, not just those two. And it's been kind of quiet in a way, even though Harden's been the best player in the league. I mean, how is that not a pleasant surprise? Whoa. Why can't the best player in the league be not him this year? But I mean, why? That's just marvelous. And we have individual reasons to maybe have our issues with a whole lot of things about this team. But, you know, now we got a Warriors killer out of nowhere. And that's huge.
Oh, you can't just drop that kind of bombshell and think we're going to just gloss over it. So you think Harden not just been the MVP, you think he's been the best player in the league this year?
Oh, yeah, because because even though LeBron James is way better than him and mm-hmm. was probably better than him in November and most of December and mm-hmm. definitely the last month, you know, January and February count. Okay. They just do. He's not the best player in the league. But, you know, in terms of just sheer throwing minutes at the entire NBA that counts, you know, and sheer of just throwing things, gobs and gobs of defensive contributions as the year goes along, you know, those minutes count. That stuff counts. And LeBron, God bless him. I could talk about LeBron for 20 minutes if you want me to and how happy I am around that suddenly out of nowhere this old man is my favorite player. How did that happen? But Harden has not let up all year. And when he lets up, it's because he's tired and you notice it because it says, you know, 3 of 16. But, you know, that stuff counts.
Just for both you guys, in the month of March, I think Harden shot like 27% from three. So just letting you know, just saying that we might be in for a surprise in the playoffs.
There's a hater in every crowd. I'm just saying.
I'm not being a hater. Hey, these are just stats, baby. Right. These are just stats.
Stats don't lie. Actually, that, you know, Kelly, that brings up a good question, though. Is LeBron your favorite player? Do you have a favorite player that you like to watch in the league?
I mean, that was just an out-of-nowhere thing that I just – all of a sudden I'm tuning into LeBron in February March, like I'm tuning in to see Monte Ellis in 2006 in League Pass, or like I'm tuning in to see Devin Booker a couple of years ago. Now I'm watching Cleveland games for the same stuff, or I'm disappointed because they're on national TV and I got to go out of my way to watch mm-hmm. them or something. Like, suddenly LeBron is like my Joel Embiid when he used to play 18 minutes a game, and that's I didn't see that coming. So I don't know if he's my favorite player, but just the idea that I have to, that he's just must watch, and not because I'm amping myself up and thinking like, you know, oh, you're living through, you know, Stevie Wonder putting 8 amazing albums out in a row. You got to pay attention to all this. There's some of that in there, but mostly it's just like, I want to see what he does against Charlotte. That's going to be fun and crazy. And I didn't ever see that coming from the league's best player. I didn't think that was a thing that could happen at this point, but here I am.
Yeah, I got to admit, I've never been the biggest LeBron. I can acknowledge how great he is, but I've never been fond of really watching him. And he's really, this season, I think he's been more fun to watch than most seasons. Now, Joe asked a question about the Celtics. Let me ask you a question about his squad, Philly. Yeah. We know Embiid's out. Simmons is tearing things up, prohibitive rookie of the year. I'm not even going to ask about right now because, you know, they're young and Embiid might miss the first round. So they might be, you know, first or second round out.
He'll be back in a couple of – don't worry. He'll be back.
My question was, not even for right now, what do you see them doing this offseason to put them in that really elite stratosphere? What do you think they need to do?
They need a small – with both. Ball handling skills, but a veteran one that's been around and one that has, like, hopefully a lot of good playoff minutes, not just built up Joe Johnson playoff minutes, but good playoff minutes. You know, he's got to be familiar with the Eastern Conference. You know, he's got to have a good respect for Popovich style coaches. And, you know, he's got to be able to, you know, to take over the lead as point forward as Ben Simmons sort of gets his legs. So, yeah, I think they should go after LeBron. And I think LeBron, I mean, he might go there. He'll probably go there. I mean, why not, right? That's the best team for them. My buddy Jeff Tate, comedian, first brought that up in like October, not just because he's just, you know, drawing names out of a hat, but he's just looking at the X's and O's. And why not LeBron?
So let me ask both of you guys this, and I brought this up to Joe before, I think. Hear me out. LeBron's cool, but this guy's a little bit younger, not as ball dominant. So he lets Ben Simmons do his thing, and he's a better shooter. How do you feel about a Paul George?
Can I answer this, Kelly, real quick?
Yep.
The only thing about
podcast.
Yeah. Sorry. Can I answer a question on my own podcast? I'm sorry. The only thing I don't like about Paul George coming to the Sixers is that, like, what are you going to do with Robert Covington then? I mean, come on.
You play them both.
It's a joke.
You play Covington at power forward.
It's a joke. Actually, Covington is better suited as a power forward, to be honest with you. He would excel there. But I honestly think that Paul George makes more sense. I mean, listen, LeBron James, how can you say no to the best player in the world? But I just don't like what he brings with him in terms of personality and how that's like, you saw Kevin Love have an anxiety attack and Tyronn Lue have to take a couple weeks off. And it's not nothing. I think a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere around LeBron James, whether he means to do it or not. It's just such a bright spotlight. And for a bunch of guys who are really young that are still learning to grow together and stuff, I worry about that aspect of it. If it was as a matter of taking the team over the top, I mean, yeah, at LeBron. Kelly, what do you think?
Oh, wait, you're serious.
All right, good night. I'm out.
Hey, you know what?
Oh, no, defense... yeah. I mean, just in a pure basketball, you know, if LeBron James is interested in signing, I don't care about the Sixers' feelings. I don't care if they all turn into Dennis Hopson. You sign LeBron James. You tell those guys, hey, I don't care what happened to Kevin Love. I don't care what happened to, you know, to Daniel Gibson 11 years ago and how they had to rebuild that friendship from the ground up. No, I don't care about that. That's LeBron James.
All right,
you go get him if that's at all available. And I don't think I have no idea because LeBron probably doesn't know. Maybe he does. The guy's got eyes that dart everywhere, but I mean, Paul George is also the guy that like doesn't want to shoot free throws for a week at a time sometimes too. So he's got to be in the right mood. You know, he's not exactly the undercard that's going to. No, I'm not the biggest Paul George fan on some nights, but mm-hmm. yeah, as a mini LeBron, that's fine. But if there's a chance in at all, you get LeBron, you go for the best player that will probably ever play.
So I'm going to ask him.
You're both wrong. Kawhi's going to be in Philly next year. That's all. Goodbye.
I do not give up on that dream. Serious voice.
It would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Now,
it
see, here's the thing:
logical and possible and probable.
Make a trade, right? They'd have to make a trade for Kawhi and try to match some of that money. So that's where I think the problem comes with Kawhi. He's not a free agent next year. I don't.
When you get June involved, you can get a bunch of teams. Is a great thing.
Okay,
that's true.
So I'll say this though: I'm gonna do something I hate to do. I'm gonna actually defend Joe here about the LeBron thing.
Thank you.
As a Celtics guy, gives you a chance to win. You add him no matter what. You send whatever. I get it. As a fan of the Celtics, I would rather see my young guys earn their stripes, take their lumps. I want to see if Jalen become an all-star. I want to see if Tatum can become an all-star. I want to see these guys develop because we drafted them, and you become emotionally invested and attached. And if this was 28-year-old LeBron, I would be more into it because, you know, but we know LeBron's going to take a one-year deal, and he's going to take his max money, and everything becomes about him. So I get it. I get how great he is. I'm just thinking the timeline of what the Celtics have now for the long term compared to add LeBron, go at it for a year or two, and then, you know, it's over and you're starting over again. It doesn't really appeal to me. That's my logically. So everyone who listens, you're going to yell at me later about, why would you not like LeBron? I'll take it. I'll take it because it's just as a fan of the team, I love Terry Rozier. I love Mark. I want these guys to thrive under pressure the way they are. I don't want them to be playing under LeBron's wing. And, you know, hey, they got 12 points. LeBron had 35, and, you know, this guy had 14. And, hey, sure, they'll win, but I don't know. That's just not for me.
Well, actually, I mean, if they're saying you don't like LeBron, then they're not listening. It's not about LeBron. It's not about that. It's, yeah, it's about the juice. Listen, no one ever wants Reggie Jackson on their team. It's always, you know, why don't the Orioles sign him, or why don't the A's pay some more money? It's I get all that. I'm the outsider going, nope, just take LeBron. Nope, come on, best player ever. Man, yeah, that's
no, you no, are not the minority. You're not the minority.
I also wonder, and listen, if I were a fan of those teams, I would totally be hesitant. Mm-hmm. I also as an outsider, wonder if Philadelphia and Boston weren't the best two teams in the world to handle LeBron for a year in a max, saying passive aggressive stuff all the time, not making his mind up on his next team until July of 2019. I mean, that's, I think, you know, a lot of these teams could actually handle that because these kids are smarter and more on it than ever. And, you know, I'm not saying they're ready for it, that it's a cynical thing. I just think these, you know, wherever he goes, I think it's going to be, I hope it's not as outrageous. Maybe that's just me projecting. But, yeah, I got to imagine what you were saying is echoed by fans of just about every other team. The good thing for you two is Boston and Philly are so good. Most of the other teams are like, I don't want them to take Devin Booker's advancement.
That's right. We win.
Hey, so you said something earlier that kind of stuck with me, man. You were saying that, like, you don't really – you know, you're not really on Twitter too much, you know, and it's about you just watch your games and you're having fun again. And I think Twitter sometimes could be, it's fun, but yeah, it could be a drain sometimes. And I was just going to ask you, is there a reason that you're not on Twitter as much? And have you noticed, like, what fan off Twitter?
It was kind of an evolution, I suppose, when I didn't have to be on Twitter as much. We were all around before that website popped up.
Absolutely.
And we were all on it and working on wherever the heck we were going and are right now before that website was up. Or before we think we got good at that website, or however you want to frame your term of life, you know, we were all doing A-okay before that. And I can only speak for myself and just say that my life's been a lot better. And I look forward to the day that I'm able to cut ties with that website. It's introduced me to some great friends, and it's been wonderful for me. But it's a bit much, and I don't even think I had too much of a habit with it. But it's great to stay off in games. That was never a problem. But NBA Twitter is the greatest thing in the world. It's just, sometimes for me, it's better to go read the great work like I used to, just going to twitter.com, /Matt Moore or /Zach Harper and reading their stuff or reading Zach Lowe's tweets from, you know, that's fun to do, just going to their page. You know, I'm not saying, you know, don't read everyone's tweets. It's just, yeah, the more I stay off of it, life has been a lot better. It's just been a lot more enjoyable to just make the games the games. And, you know, as you see these guys sort of peel off their, you know, their uniforms at 7 o'clock, it feels a little more human as opposed to, you know, staring at the screen of the same 8 websites over and over and over again and checking in on all the angles. It just feels a little bit more, I don't know, I'm trying to find some sort of, strain of empathy that I didn't really have when I was, pretending like I knew everything in the world from behind a screen. So I think part of that means, getting rid of some old habits. And just for me, that's part of it.
That's really dope, man. Yeah. That was, wow.
Plus, you know, if you're on Twitter,
it's not for everyone. And it's a good website for the people that do it right. I'm not one of those people. I'm not good at it anyway. So,
oh, come on.
And if you're on Twitter too much anyways, you'll have James popping up in your mentions calling you stupid for some reason. It just happens.
That's not true. Hey, don't make me look bad in front of the guests. What the hell is your problem?
Sorry. Kelly, do you want to do a couple of rapid fire things with us quick?
Heck yeah, let's do rapid fire.
Rapid fire. Okay. James, kick it off.
Your best memory from this season.
Oh, wow. From this season. You know what? Gosh, something springs to mind right away. Is like even I guess in what you would call a down year, maybe even for both players in a way. No, I take that back. Anyway, up in Milwaukee this year, I got to see Draymond Green just kind of move his feet playing Giannis in the post. And it was that I don't even remember what I think maybe in January. I don't remember when that game was. I don't remember who won that game. But when Golden State played Milwaukee, I think I had to make it to. Yeah, that may have been the game I had to make after a snowstorm in Minneapolis. Just something about Draymond moving his feet in the post. I don't know if I think Giannis missed the shot. I don't remember what happened. Just watching Draymond Green for about, 2.5 seconds there. That was awesome.
I'm going to go find that play somehow on YouTube. I'm going to go find it.
Yeah, I should too. I should too. And then we get the playoffs.
All right. Most annoying fan base. How about that?
Oh.
This is James' question. I'm reading it for him.
Honestly, it's just there's more Laker fans more than any other fan base. But like, I haven't been bothered by a Laker fan in like years, like many, many years. Like, everyone's cool now. Everyone's got their act together. Like, I know mentions and at replies, and there's a bunch of bad eggs out there, and whatever. But like, everyone seems pretty cool these days. Maybe I'm just, I don't know. People have had to grow up a lot recently, and that might be part of it. But, like, you know, as much as there were also when, like, the Laker fans may have been at their worst, there were also more on point, smarter, cooler, got their stuff together Laker fans than there were, like, in total, fans from several other fan bases at that time. I'm not going to name names, but, like, you know, the smart Laker fans or smart Knicks or Raptors or whatever bad team that you hate, you know, they still got more in their back pocket of the good ones than, all the teams from Miami or Florida put together. So, no, everyone's cool these days. Everyone's okay.
That's a very diplomatic answer. Very I like that.
Very positive.
It's
as well.
The truth, man. It really is, especially if you limit your interactions as much as I do.
You
plus,
know what?
I go
Maybe
through these stadiums, key. And I walk. Like when I go to these games, I wear, because you're not supposed to, but I kind of sometimes wear the color of that team, kinda. And I take my press pass off, and I just go walk in the stands as much as I can in the back ways. I mean, it's just trying to, you know, people watch and absorb and take these fan bases in, their expectations and, you know, what they're thinking, what they're trying to get out of that night, what they're, you know, feeling for the year, what they're having to wait forward to the, you know, to the summer, because the NBA is like that a lot. And you know, everyone's, it's just been, that's been a lot of fun this year. So yeah, annoying fan bases. I don't know. I'm pretty annoying. So Chicago Bulls.
Your favorite dunker this season? Who's been your favorite dunker?
Oh man, I like Ferguson.
He's some springs.
Fun.
He has some rise.
But you know, Giannis jumped over a guy.
Mm-hmm. He literally jumped over a guy. Yes.
In a basketball game.
Yeah.
That was on TV. So that one.
That was pretty awesome. Joe, I might give you props on this one, because when Embiid dunked over Millsap the other day, I said it looked like Millsap was drowning in a barrel, because he tried his best and it up and over him like it was like a Nerf hoop. It was amazing.
I mean, you should credit me for Embiid. I had everything to do with that. You're welcome.
Give your boy props.
Yeah. I had a question. James, go ahead. I forgot. I've lost it.
You're the worst.
I am still the worst, yes.
Okay, hey, Jaylen or Jason? Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? Which guy do you think has more star power? Not even who's going to be better. Which one has more star power?
Star power? Well, I would assume that Tatum, having learned from the bodacious cerebral exploits of his older brother in this instance, professional brother, would eventually become the bigger star because he's younger and the younger generations can't help but be smarter and better at everything than the older ones. So soon Jaylen Brown will be old news and we'll have another guy from a school from the South. I don't know. It's Jaylen Brown. He's amazing. But like, I'm not going to rip on them. They're both stars in my eyes. One of them's just a little older, so he's a little cooler.
These are my large adult sons. I appreciate that. And it's funny because I think Tatum's going to be the better player. Going to be the better player. I just think something about Jaylen, like the high top fade, the intellectualism, Tatum, he's good. He's great. He's almost like a Boy Scout. And there's almost like a little bit of nasty edge to Jaylen Brown that I think he might have a little more, just more of that it factor.
No, I want him to play, Mr. Brown to play, I don't know, 16 more years of Hall of Fame basketball and then turn his back on this game and go somewhere where he is needed, which is, you know, somewhere else and bigger than better than pro basketball.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next two decades of that.
Absolutely.
Totally with you on that one. How about this? Which injury was more depressing to you?
Porzingis? Come on.
I'm sorry.
What a Debbie Downer. We're having this great talk about dunkers
all
and
right,
more stars. And you want about depressing injuries.
sorry. I retract my question. I've got nothing.
I think it was when John Tudor punched his hand in the 85 World Series, or maybe Joaquin Andujar. I don't know. If anything was, maybe how about the soft tissue ailment that plagued Scottie Pippen in 96 and 97 and didn't let the world see what the sort of midseason Scottie Pippen that we all got to enjoy. That was a bit of a bummer.
Was it his feet or his back?
First 96 was more of a back than all around thing. 97 was technically feet, but you know that back was hurting. And then 98 was when everything just fell apart and he had to have someone stand on his back to make it 6 minutes in the finals.
Was it 98
when Hornacek was running around him in 98?
Was it 98 when he dunked in the first round against the Bullets and he fell on his back and he was like messed up all playoffs?
That
he
was dunked. 97.
Was that 97? Okay.
There, but it was just like a saturation point. It was
absolutely. Pippen was never the same after that. Yeah.
Won the series though. That was the same night that the Ellen Show happened, where she came out. I think I watched that in a rib joint.
Dude, you got a memory like I was freaking still crap.
I'm in awe of your memory right now.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jordan's shot should have gone in, and you know, unfortunately, Scotty had to clean up his mess.
That was awesome. You got another question, Joe?
No, because you just shit all over mine, so forget it.
I didn't shit over it. You can't ask depressing questions, man. We're having the time of our lives, and you come there talking about like feline AIDS.
All right, let me just real quick. I know I heard this on Woj's pod, but I want to ask you again, anyways. Who is the real rookie of the year? Is it Ben Simmons or is it, or is it Donovan Mitchell?
I don't know what I say this morning. I was on a lot.
I don't know. I just think
the pluck of Donovan Mitchell, how he won the dunk contest and is famous. I think that's more important than anything in Hill. But no, Ben Simmons is the rookie of the year by a country mile. Donovan Mitchell is awesome, but it is Ben Simmons by a lot.
I'm not even going to argue with you. I mean, I think we're all in agreement here. Donovan Mitchell's awesome. He's going to be a superstar, too.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. But Ben Simmons is on another level right now. I can't.
I didn't even know, forget that he won it. Just the first dunk alone, which I don't even remember. I didn't think he was going to be all that great in that dunk contest. I just thought he was going to be another 6'3"-ish guy that was going to have these great, struggle to get the ball through his legs, struggle to get the ball over the top of the rim. Those sort of I can see what he's doing. He was great. He's just got legs that keep coming out. And then, April and May is going to happen, and him and Quinn Snyder are going to get, 2 days off between games, like I said earlier. He's going to be cool. He's going to be a star this spring, and it's a bummer he's going to come in second place by a lot.
Serious boy-o-yoings. That kid got some springs, man. I love that kid. All right, last question I got then. Prettiest jump shot in the NBA?
I mean, it's Curry. I like going watching him play, or see me shoot around before games. That's some stuff you got to see. I don't know, because it's not perfect. It's natural. It's just something that he made beyond perfection into something that is his own, and he made it so that 30 feet isn't a problem. And he did it at the same size as Steve Kerr. And now 30, 35 feet is not a problem just from those hands. Watching Harden is amazing. Harden's wrists. Watch him warm up when he's messing around with the hoodie on.
Yep.
Oh, my God. His wrists are incredible. He's just put so much work into that. But, I don't know if Curry's put as much work into it as Harden and DeRozan and all these, crazy freaks with their mechanics. But Curry is just, there's something magical about what is able to take place at a different spot on the floor that we never had to consider up until recently. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just the knowledge of that there's, the potential for that is enough to imagine things maybe that aren't there. Until that, shows up, you got him shooting 25 footers and they look just as pretty to me.
Well said. You nailed it.
Or Devin Booker. I don't know.
Nice.
Hey, Kelly, do you have anything coming on the pipeline that you want to promote for us, man? Anything that people should look out for other than your awesome website, tsa.substack.com. Not website, your newsletter. So, yeah, anything else that people should look out for?
And they can go to the website. There's some free stuff there that's on the web. It's a really cool-looking website. We're going to have some fun with LeBron's streak and Jordan and some stuff that happened. And then we're going to get crazy on the behind-the-box scores, which are just fun as hell, to close out the year. And then when the playoffs hit, we're going to write about every game. And that I can't say that. I'm in my parents' basement. There's a lot of cat hair down here, so I can't say that word.
Do you mind if I keep that in?
Style. And I'm Steve Martin and Martin Short all at once, except unemployable. Yeah, go and you can read a ton of behind the box scores and all the columns and all the old school stuff we've been putting up. It's just a big, fun website. You could honestly just spend $5 and go read all the back stuff and maybe just take a break off because, $5 is money. I get it. But dive in, dive out, have some fun. It's going to be the best postseason any of us have ever seen. And I'm going to have more fun than anyone else covering it. And you're going to see the results of that on that page. So, yeah, tsa.substack.com. KD on Hoops on the Twitter.
Hey man, all the listeners out there, you could tell from this podcast that site must be the shit. So make sure you guys shell out the 5, shell out the 10. And, you know, all you big ballers out there, you guys are getting big baller shoes. You can afford it then. But shell out the 100 and support our guy, Kelly Dwyer, man. What an awesome show. This has been probably my favorite show I've ever done on any podcast, man.
Well, I'm glad to have a part of that. I can't imagine who was on in the segments before me that made that happen. But, you know, glad I didn't ruin what they did.
No one has existed before you. No one has existed.
You know what? Hey, I dream mine up. We're going to get you and Free Darko on at the same time. That would be a hell of a show.
I'll bring my brother, who once stiffed him for a handshake at a jazz bar in Chicago once. My brother didn't mean to. He just didn't know that Mr. Friedman was attempting to do it. He was saying goodbye for the night. My brother was just so into that Jimmy Smith song that band was playing, and he'd had a few lagers in him. My brother, not Nathaniel. So, yeah, we should bring my brother in for that to kind of mellow things out.
Absolutely.
Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time and hanging out with us.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Take care.
You the man, Kelly. Wow.
You there, James?
I'm here, man. Okay. Yeah, that was.
Are we all still? I can't even work the internet.
Wait, you're still recording, right?
Yeah, I'm still recording. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Let's wrap the show up.
All right, wrap it up.
What the show doesn't wrap itself up, man. Shit.
No.
So, yeah. That's Kelly Dwyer, man. What a fucking great show.
He's
hope I
awesome
step
dude.
On your toes too much, bro. Did I step on your toes too much?
No. I was giving you all the room you needed to breathe. You're a much
better. I feel bad. I that's why I did. Did I dominate the airspace? I didn't mean to dominate the airspace. I apologize.
It's okay. I wanted you, after I wanted to redeem myself for being a bully last week, so I let you bully me around. It's fine.
I don't mean to bully. Okay. But Kelly just broadened my fucking horizons, man. Fuck that. When he was all about fun and, he made me feel validated because I don't know if you've heard me say it before. I tweeted it before. I think sometimes we get too caught up in the weeds. Not just analytics, but we just get caught up in too much of the detail sometimes. And people don't seem like they're having fun watching and talking about basketball. And that dude right there, that was like just the most easy breezy convo we've ever had. And I'm going to tell the listeners, Joe got a little almost neurotic about because he wanted to make, not in a bad way. He wanted to make sure that we did well by our guest and we didn't we didn't sound like we didn't know what we're talking about or we made him feel comfortable. But he obviously felt comfortable and that was a good show. So, Joe, fuck it. I'm telling the listeners that you overthink things.
You know
sometimes.
What, James? It's no secret. If they've ever listened to Super Flight, they know all about me.
Anything else you want to cover, man?
Nah, man, it's good. Else? I think we're good. Anything else you want to say?
One of the funniest things I see is the online, and it's funny. You know what? Segues perfectly what he was saying about. Sometimes best is maybe to unplug from Twitter a little bit. Mm-hmm. I respect the hell out of Philly. I mean, you've heard me talk well about the team.
Yes.
I love Embiid.
Yes.
Simmons is awesome.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You guys got JJ got shooters. I like Covington.
James,
I've actually came
quick,
around.
Imagine 5 years from now, who has the better team, Philly or Boston?
Why are we talking about this? I'm praising you right now. Just shut up. I'm praising you. What the fuck? And there's this huge Twitter war between the Celtics Twitter and Philly Twitter. And it came out of nowhere because I don't get what the war is about.
It's not out of nowhere.
I don't get what the war is about. And I know. I'm not
Boston gonna say, fans.
I know. There's a couple Philly guys who like to stoke the fires because, we know who it is.
Rights to Ricky Sanchez?
I'm not saying any names because these are all my boys. I'll say this. I love
boys.
My man Spike. Spike's my guy. He likes to fucking push buttons.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
He likes to push Boston buttons.
Kyle's my guy. They like to push buttons. And there's a little bit of insecurity there, too, because people have been shitting on Philly for a while. And now that you guys are back to being relevant, it's a little bit of... We told you. So it's there.
Oh, it's not it's a there. Little bit of we told you. They did a live show that was called We Were Right Before Christmas. It's
okay.
Why am I?
There you go.
Anyway, but yeah, Philly fans are all about being right now. And
there you go.
Let them have it, man. Let
them
have it. Listen.
No, nobody's trying to stop them from having it. It's the fact that it's going the other way. And of course, Boston fans are going to retaliate.
Yeah.
And so now it's becoming a whole stupid shit storm. And
it's going to be
so maybe I've stayed above it. I've stayed completely out of it because. What am I arguing for? I mean, they're going to be really good. And I said it. I keep saying it. I think Philly might do that Golden State thing where every other team does their best. The Raptors build Boston's doing all this good stuff, and all of a sudden Philly's going to just shoot past everybody and just dominate the East. It can happen. I can see it happening. So
I mean, to be fair, it's not just with Boston fans. It's with everyone, because everyone insisted that Philadelphia sucked for tanking the way they did and for doing the process when Hinkie came in and did it. And you know, like, people shit on them like crazy. Like, they've not shit on any other team. Like, we talked about last week about Orlando not being able to build a freaking team in 5 years and blowing all their draft picks and having no direction. Like Phoenix doing the same thing. And those teams didn't get nearly the flack the Sixers did. It's just that the Sixers were really obvious about it. They were honest. They're like, we're giving young guys a shot. They found Robert Covington. They found Ish Smith, who's still playing in the league. They found a bunch of guys, and they gave them shots, and they...
I think Jerami Grant, right?
Jerami Grant. They got Jerami Grant. They drafted him. There's a bunch of dudes, man, that now have NBA careers because of what Philadelphia did. And I'm not saying, like, oh, they were so altruistic when they did it. That's not the case. But they did.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I was all in on the process, and I was even – there's people, and I haven't seen them speak up yet and say I was wrong, but there are people out there who told me, oh, no, once you build a losing culture, there's no turning back. I don't care how talented they are. It's not going to matter. Winning none of these players don't matter. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, none of these players are going to matter, even though Covington just got what? How much did Covington just get?
He got like $74 million for four years. It's a really good
absolutely.
Contract.
Absolutely. That matters. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Jerami Grant matters right now. He's playing well for a playoff team. He's going to break the bank. He's going to make some good money next summer.
Yeah.
So, like, it's funny to see, like, yeah, a lot of people were on the high horse about what Philly did. And, you know, some people have spoken up. Hey, look, shout out to my man, Hoop Critic. Hoops Critic said, hey, I'll admit it, I was wrong. He said, I talked, you know, and he was one of the main ones. He said, no, I was wrong. They got two superstars. They're going to be good for years. I got to admit I was wrong. So Hoop Critic, Brian Geltzer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, because I listen to the RTRS, so I can't say anything, but yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, hey, he spoke up and he said it the other day. So,
well, good for him.
Yeah, so
by the way, Dwayne Dedman got his start in Philly. Dwayne Dedman. Who cares?
Okay, yeah, all right. Stop thumping yourself on the back. Relax. but yeah, it's a really good show. I think let's end it there before I end up cursing you out. Yeah.
All right, fucking, James. Don't hang up because we still got to do the opening.
No, hold on, man. We're saying our byes too.
All right,
we got to do the opening.
Well, I'll cut that part out. Yeah, we didn't do the opening. We have to do the opening, so don't hang up. I'm going to stop at the moment.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we did. I did a whole. This is episode 13.
Oh, I guess we did.
Did you not?
Yeah,
we did it when he came on. I said, I'm Snotty Dripping, James Hollis, and he's Joe Borelli at Joe Borelli, and we got a guest. What are you talking about?
That's true. We did.
Keep on. Because I want everybody to see what kind of fucking shit I'm dealing with. All right. Fuck it. I can curse now. Kelly's on the motherfucking show. I can let this shit go. Motherfucker.
Cover your children's ears. This is the part of the podcast.
If this is the motherfucking part that's fucking not safe for work, you pieces of shit.
All right, I'm going. Goodbye. I got to go home. I mean, I am home. I got
to
go.
All right, all right. Hey, so I'm James Hollis. Find me at Snotty Dripping, bballbreakdown.com. And that's Joe Borelli. We do the Dunk Don. What the fuck?
No.
We do the Dunk Tales podcast. Yeah, I'm not fucking. We're not boring, so we don't do the Dunk Don podcast.
No.
Just joking, buddies. Did this the other day.
What's that?
No, keep this in there, too. Keep this in there.
I'll keep it in there. All right, should I stop it now? Should I stop the recording?
All right. Hey, everyone. Hey, keep reaching for the stars.